Okay, we're going live on the video tonight and on the phone. How exciting. We've got everything working back to normal. It's great to be with everyone for a Tuesday night celebration of life. Oh my goodness, what a whirlwind for the last 30-plus nights through Saturday night. We're working on this new book entitled The Observer's Chair, The Miracle of Healing Self-Esteem. It's now done. We have the cover finished. We have it laid out. It was going through editing and proofing, and the final edits go in tomorrow morning, and then it's going to be heading off to the printer on Monday. It'll be back in time for us to ship them on December 3rd. This is going to be a hardcover gift edition of the book. It's 117 pages long, and it's got some bonus features. You can actually link from the book to the 10 scrolls, so you can listen to those. And you won't have to take them off your CD and burn them to your computer. They'll all be available. You can download them right from the file to your iPhone or your smartphone. Also, the affirmations, the becoming affirmations for self-esteem are included. And also a stillness exercise. Many of you have been through the coaching, so you've been to quality number 6 and listened to the stillness exercise. This is a vastly improved version that's much more comprehensive. And in terms of the observer's chair, stepping back, becoming aware and conscious of our thought processes, sitting in the observer's chair instead of in the chair of our unhealthy habits of thinking. I am so excited. I had a two-hour window this afternoon to reread the book just one last time to see if there was anything else that was coming to me. And I got through the book in 2 hours comfortably, reading it, pondering it, thinking about it. So it's a book that you can read and then go back and study, and it's not too complicated. It just goes into the causes of self-esteem and helps us understand what's going on and what's the dialogue. And in terms of comparison game, in terms of unmet expectations, in terms of the fragile underpinnings of trust that are sometimes damaged or destroyed, the secrets that we can have in our lives that damage self-esteem. And then learning how to love ourselves and choose ourselves, our clay, being able to create the most we can with it, to be real and genuine and authentic without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. And then there are some very specific exercises to help us become conscious so we can decide which chair we're sitting in, then to sit in the chair and have clear direction about why we're there and what can help keep us here. The chapter on raising awareness, and then a chapter on, very literally, the technique for changing the thought process. Hear it and change it. That's one of my favorite exercises in the book. And after that is a stillness exercise. It's written, and you can also link in and listen to it on the audio. And then lastly, what I'm calling our freedom declaration. This is just an emphatic statement about how we are going to sit in this chair and who we're going to become and who we are. So that we can own our genius, own our goodness, start showing up in the world differently. And then there's a prologue on the topic of today I begin a new life to guide us into the principles we're talking about tonight. I'd like to spend just a moment and bridge why physical creation, our topic for this evening, why does physical creation improve our self-esteem? Because really the whole purpose of going through this process is to heal our self-esteem, because the more whole and complete we are, the more comfortable we are in our own skin, the more available we are, the less it needs to be about us. We're okay. We can show up and just be okay. And we've all met people that are just so okay. And a wonderful, peaceful place. And we want to be able to be like that, in service to others, finding joy, plugged into the planet, experience success and happiness and peace of mind. A very wonderful peace of mind that comes through this process. Well, I want to walk you through what has physical creation got to do with self-esteem. Because we'll get to self-esteem when we get to it. It's going to be very exciting, because everyone, by the way, tonight, we're hoping by midnight, gets an email. And the email is offering just our database, just our augmenting our database right now, an opportunity to pick up a copy of the book pre-release for a 15% discount. Now, the book will be shipped on the 3rd of December, but you'll get a PDF immediately of the entire book. So you can start reading it. You can start putting these principles into your life so that what we do on Tuesday night makes more sense. And if you find value in it, you can come back between now and the 31st and pick up 10 copies of the book at the discounted price and attend a coaching session that starts on the 5th of November, where I'm going to teach the principles in the book. I'm going to spend 4 weeks just on self-esteem, Monday nights at 6 o'clock for an hour. That's going to be a very fun exercise for all of us who we want to deal with self-esteem, because really it's at the core. It's really the foundational piece. When I wrote the book, Today I Begin a New Life, and I'm teaching these principles of intentional creation, the whole purpose behind all of this is for us to heal. To heal. So it's time to get the book in your hands with some very specific guidance on how to do this. I could feel this. I've said this before. I said it in the email that's going out. I've never written with such urgency in my life about anything. 30 nights and we have a book. It was just, I could hear pleas from people who were just saying, I'm so stuck. Well, I can teach you how to connect with people and use your mind constructively and be present in the now, but those things don't really matter if we're so stuck in that chair over there, those unhealthy habits of thinking, if we're stuck over there, it really doesn't help, because we can't really connect with a person from over there. We can't listen and hear. We can't ask empathetic questions, not from over there. We're too focused on ourselves and our frustration and our pain and our lack of worth. We're dealing with all that dialogue internally. It keeps us from showing up. When it comes to mental creation, for those of you on the phone, online, I'm going to actually demonstrate it for you. I want you to see this. I turn to my unhealthy habits of thinking, and my conversation is generally between me and them. This is where my conversation is almost all the time. When we talk about mental creation, we're talking about shutting off this noise, turning our chair around the other way, and having an elevated conversation. Is there anyone I can serve? Put them on my path and I'll serve them. What can I create? How could I create? How could that serve? Can you hear the questions we're asking? Who are we asking? Where do these inspired ideas come from? Why does it ignite part of our brain that is normally dormant in a human being? How is that possible? Could it be that we're actually built for this communication? And ignites our passion, passion that drives our focus, discipline, effort, and action. Because tonight we're going to talk about the taking the action piece. But this only makes sense if our chair is turned this way. If we're turned the other way and our dialogue's always fighting this, or we're even worse, not sitting in the observer's chair, we actually got up and walked over and sat down in the chair of our unhealthy habits of thinking over there. We can't be present in the now in passion-driven action. We're not in the now. We're over there in our head with those unhealthy habits. We've surrendered to them, and they even speak for us. Had a great conversation on Friday with someone who had just read the book as part of the editing team. He said, I woke up this morning, and I could hear that I was sitting in the other chair, and it wasn't my voice. It's the voice of these unhealthy habits of thinking, but it sounded like me. I don't want to get up. I don't want to have a good day. I want to feel miserable today. Yeah, we not only get attached to the thought processes, we become addicted to these thoughts, addicted to the drama. That's not who we are. And the reason why we know that is when we make the decision to come over here and sit down in this chair of the observer, and we turn around and we start asking questions about what can I create, how can I create, how will it serve, we start to feel good. Peaceful, whole, complete, inspired. It's immediate. Now we can look over our shoulder back over there, and some of those thoughts want to yank us out of this chair. But we're going to want to stay here. So where does this concept of physical creation, what part does this play in the healing of our self-esteem? Let's explore that tonight and see if we can get some answers that will help us appreciate the processes and practices that are part of this quality. They'll finally, I hope, it's my plan tonight, to create value in what I'm going to ask you to do. Because we've been talking about it. Some of you have been coaching for a while, been through this a few times, and we still quite aren't here. It's okay, we are where we are, but tonight we want to sit in this observer's chair and then hear what can help us stay here. What is the value in this? And what impact does this have on my self-esteem? So Og says to us, my procrastination, just look over there at that chair over there, my procrastination, when I'm sitting in that chair, which has held me back, is born of fear. I've learned the secret mind from the depths of all courageous hearts. What has he learned? That to conquer fear, I must act without hesitation, and the flutters in my heart will vanish. Let me translate for you. I stand up immediately when I hear that noise, and I come and sit in this chair. There's no fear here. The flutters in my heart have vanished because I am owning my true self. Next statement. Now I know that action, getting up and moving over here, that action reduces the lion of terror. That's what that seems like. It's the lion of terror. But only action reduces that lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, which means peace of mind. Sitting here in the observer's chair. This is a powerful quote from scroll number 9, I Will Act Now. When Og says, my dreams are worthless, my plans are dust, my goals are impossible, all are of no value. I'm going to paraphrase, unless I'm sitting here in the observer's chair, taking action. Only action determines my value in the marketplace. And to increase my value, I must increase my actions. I will walk where the failure fears to walk. I will work when the failure seeks rest. I will, I've got, what's the third one? I just had a mental blank. Talk, walk, and speak when the failure remains silent. There we go. So here we are. Here we are in this chair. I will say, I will call on 10, while the failure makes grand plans to call on 1, I'll say that it is done before the failure says it is too late. Now, what's interesting about that particular quote is that many of us have said, well, my value is determined by my actions. My value according to who? And we might want to say, well, in the marketplace, my value by the sales manager or by my upline or by my employer, my manager. My value is determined by my actions. To increase my value, I must increase my actions. I want you to consider the possibility that your value of yourself is increased by those actions. Because when we take those actions, we are sitting in this chair connected to our true self. We've talked about procrastination before. It's probably the greatest example explaining to us how it works when we're putting something off, and then we move closer to it, and then we actually jump in and do it, we almost always say, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? What happened is we jumped into this chair. We shut off the noise from that chair over there, and we showed up. Is there any wonder why it got done so quickly with such focus and clarity? Because we showed up. And even we're surprised. We just finally met ourselves. So one of the great challenges of self-esteem is simply when we spend time over there in fear and doubt and confusion instead of action. We are not with ourselves. We have surrendered our free will. We have given up ourselves. We have let those thoughts be our voice and speak for us. That's not who we are. This is who we are. And when we choose to take that action and choose to sit here, we are finally spending time with our true self, and it is incredibly healing. We start to own this clay. We choose this clay. We create the most we can with this clay. That's why physical creation is such a key piece of healing self-esteem. When we do work that is boring, mundane, repetitious, and hard, we're over in that chair. And we're lumbering through the effort. It's like dragging a backpack full of bricks through the day. Oh, what was me? I'm so tired. This is so hard. I don't want to do this. That's all happening over there. Here, I'm going to have the best day of my life. Here, I'm going to listen differently, ask questions differently, use my mind constructively, get inspired ideas that ignite my passion. This is a different place. I'm going to spend time with the real me. Over there, I surrender me. Here, I'm with me. I can esteem myself. I can value my gifts. I use them in the service of others. I take action. And I discover that when I get an inspired idea, it ignites my passion. I take that action and I actually create. I've now got something tangible in my hands, if you will, that has been created, a new relationship, more money, whatever it might be. One of the great moments of healing occurs. We just got validation that our inspiration was correct, efficacious, true, however you want to describe it, which means we asked and got an answer. And the proof is that when we acted on it, it worked. Which means we know and are known. We trust and are trusted. It's the greatest source of healing self-esteem to know that you're known. You matter. And when you get an inspiration to serve one and act on it, you'll often say with great confidence, isn't it great that God knows your name? And implied in that, implicit in that comment is, and he knew mine, and he trusted me with you. Wow. I trust and am trusted. This cannot happen sitting over there in that other chair, the chair of our unhealthy habits of thinking. That cannot happen. That only happens when we're here. So when we talk about passion-driven action, we must first talk about inspiration, inspired ideas, impressions, solutions to challenges that ignite our passion. So we want to use our mind constructively, right? So we discussed that one. Second of all, and this is important, there will be times when it's time to take action and we don't feel inspired yet. And Aller talks about this in Scroll 9. He talks to us in terms of the firefly. I've read this to you before. Henceforth, I'll remember the lesson of the firefly who gives off its light only when it's on the wing, only when it's in action. Now, this is very metaphorical. The firefly gives off its light. Light is symbolism for intelligence, wisdom, knowledge, inspiration. Only when it's on the wing, only when it's in action. So we go into action if we don't have inspiration, and we begin to see more clearly. I will become a firefly, and even in the day, my glow, my inspiration, will be seen light of the sun. That's a tremendous metaphor. Let others be as butterflies who preen their wings, yet depend on the charity of a flower for life. The visual of sitting there licking your wings and just waiting for something to just be magically manifest. No. I'm going to be like the firefly in action. I'm going to get inspired ideas. I will be as the firefly, and my light will brighten the world. Now that's quite a promise. That we can be so inspired when we are turned this way, over here on the other side, having an elevated conversation, we can actually shift the world. That's powerful. When we become part of that process, can you imagine how we start to feel about ourselves? In the scroll just previous to that, Og gave a similar promise. He said, one grain of wheat, when multiplied 100-fold, will produce 100 stalks. Multiply these 100-fold 10 times, and they'll feed all the cities of the earth. Am I not more than a grain of wheat? I will multiply my value 100-fold. This scroll is all about self-esteem, too. I'll multiply my value, not just to the world, but how I'm feeling about myself. And when it is done, I will do it again and again, and there will be astonishment and wonder at my greatness as the words of these scrolls are fulfilled in me. This is healing of self-esteem. Well, our great challenge in terms of this functionality is, one, are we using our mind constructively, mentally rehearsing, seeking inspiration, exploring, planning, goal setting, problem solving. Next time we come around, we're going to look at those a little differently too. But right now we're talking about being present in the now in action. One of the great challenges that when we read a scroll in the morning, we may discover that we are not present. We're not present. We are somewhere else, and we almost always are. Many of you, I remember assessments, a lot of orange and red and goal-oriented and analytical, and some of those other systemic thoughts like honorable and self-directed and pragmatic and disciplined and teachable and some of those measurements, a lot of color in those measurements in some of your assessments. A lot of noise going on that wants us to be preoccupied, be somewhere else in our mind. And it is one of the interesting paradoxes that our body is always present, even if we're unconscious in a coma, and our mind is almost always somewhere else. And Og tells us we want to wed these two together and then focus them either on business and or our family. If we bring business into our family, it clouds our love. If we bring our family into the business, if I bring our business into the family, it dampens our love. If we bring our family into the business, it clouds our thoughts. So if we're out in business and we're worried about something at home, it's clouding our thoughts. We're not present. If we're at home and we're bringing our business into the home, we're not present for those we love. We're dampening our love. This is a powerful phrase. This is in self-esteem in the scroll number 4 on I'm Nature's Greatest Miracle. So Og is telling us that even having our mind and body wedded together, totally focused on wherever we are, I will focus my efforts on the task at hand, and my actions will help me forget all else, he says in scroll number 4. This is an important piece of self-esteem. That when we are present, mind and body, in the now, we are spending time with our true self. In terms of how we're scheduling our time. Lastly, he says in the scroll, one of my favorite, there are many things he says in the scroll, but I'm here for a purpose. I am here for a purpose. And that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Henceforth, I will apply all of my efforts to become the tallest mountain of all, and I'll strain my potential until it cries for mercy. Now, this doesn't mean we run around like a chicken with our head cut off. We're very intentional and very deliberate and very goal-oriented. Everything we're doing is about driving our life forward 1 millimeter toward a goal we have seen in our mind. We're intentional. We're not busy. We're not meeting quotas. We're intentionally creating. We're very deliberate in the actions that we take. This is what someone does when they're sitting in this chair of the observer, the observer's chair. Well, that's why we want to be here. We want to be here because this is when we are with ourselves. This is when people can be put on our path and we can serve them or they can serve us. This is where we magnify the gifts we've been given. And as a result, we're given even greater gifts. We magnify our clay, and we're given more clay. This is where that happens, present in the now. So our objective would be, I would believe, would be to spend more time here, present, with ourselves, not off somewhere else, fantasizing, catastrophizing, being frustrated, overwhelmed, discouraged. Here, present, fully present. That's the whole message of physical creation. If we do want to take our clay, create the most we can with it. If we do want to have people put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. If we want to be given more clay. If we want to spend time with ourselves, embracing our natural genius, being authentic, acting on our own moral authority, doing the right thing for the right reason, because we want to get to choose to, that all requires that we're here. How does it feel good to be here? But we're so programmed to be somewhere else. So if we're going to be in our mind, we very intentionally choose to be in a constructive place. That's pretty present, actually. It's like being present in our mind. We are present on the task at hand, which the task is, what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? Mentally rehearsing something, seeking inspiration. We are fully present. On the task at hand, we see these mental processes as a constructive activity that will create an inspired idea that will ignite our passion and drive our action. Everything's deliberate and intentional creation. So how do we get here? It's really simple. We've all talked about power sessions. Don't anybody hang up the phone and go, "Ah, not that again." Oh, somebody's got another activity they can do this. It was great. It's not about being right about the practice. It's why are we doing the practice in the first place? Well, I'll share with you a couple things. The very first reason is for us to have awareness. It's to wake us up to how little we spend present in the now. We want to become conscious. This isn't a bad thing. We don't create this discovery because we became aware. We just reveal. And it's a great thing to reveal because if we're not present in the now, we are not intentionally creating our lives. If we're not intentionally creating our lives, then we are not maximizing our worth. And we will be over there engaged in self-deprecating dialogue, questioning our worth and worthiness, our ability and our beliefs, angry when people don't agree with us, unable to set boundaries, and even willing to let ourselves be destroyed. This is not a healthy place. We want to be here. So we want to take power sessions and look at them differently. I give it to you as a specific assignment, then I ask you to back off and find out where you are, and then choose to be here. I'm going to walk through the process with you tonight in the context of sitting in the observer's seat, so it makes more sense. So I wake up in the morning. What are the chances I might discover I'm sitting over there in that other chair? Very high. We don't want to start the process of power sessions from over there. It won't work. We'll be in resentment, resistance, rebellion. We want to sit up and say, I'm going to sit in the observer's chair. I'm going to have the best day of my life. I'd start that by reading scroll number 5. I'll live this day as if it is my last. I'll live this day in my observer's chair. You read this scroll with that idea in mind, and it sounds so different. It's really wonderful. I will live this day as if it is my last by sitting in the observer's chair. What shall I do with this last precious day which remains in my keeping? First, I will sit here and seal up its container of life so that not one drop spills upon the sand. I'll not spend one moment over there in the other chair mourning yesterday's misfortunes, yesterday's defeats, yesterday's aches of the heart. For why should I throw good this beautiful day I have after what's over going on in that chair over there? Good after bad. Can I go back over there and have the sand flow up in the glass, hourglass? Can I get the sun to rise and set where it sets and set where it rises? Can I relive the errors just of yesterday? Correct. I can't go over there. Why would I spend any time? There is nothing that can be done to change that. Nothing. The blows that were struck, the pain that was caused, no value. He also says, I'm not going to go in the future. Try to put tomorrow's gold in today's purse, or do tomorrow's task while standing in today's path, or torment myself over things that may never come to pass. I'm going to spend the day here in the observer's chair. Here in this chair, and there's some things I'm going to feel and some actions I'm going to take as you read that scroll. What a great way to get grounded. It just gets us out of wherever we are and puts us in this chair. Now we can do something. You can't skip this part and go into power sessions because you're most likely over into the chair. If you want to skip it, you absolutely are. If you haven't got time for it, it's too busy, I got too much going on, you can hear all the dialogue. That's just those thought processes over there just going on and on and on. I haven't got 6.5 minutes to feed my soul, help me come aware and take on my life. I haven't got time for that. Can you hear it? It's ridiculous. But we say it all the time. Nope, I'm going to have the best day of my life. I'm going to read the scroll. So I read it. It awakens my awareness. Wow, I don't want to be over there today. I want to be here. Okay, what am I going to do today to stay here in this chair? Well, I'm going to pick 3 times when I'll absolutely want to be consciously sitting in this chair, absolutely fully present, bringing all of my experiences to the table in the service of another person. I can be here 3 times. I might drift back over there, but I can be here 3 times. The first time I want to be here is when. I look at my schedule. Maybe it's 10 o'clock. I've got a meeting. Okay? I'm going to be present for that one. Then I'm going to read scroll 9 at noon. I'm going to do my other 2 power sessions. I'm going to journal and read scroll 7. I'm thinking that in the morning. So now I start preparing for the first power session. I choose to use my mind constructively. What could I create? How could I create that? How would that serve? How could I make that 10 o'clock meeting really something extraordinary? No circus. We don't need to bring in dessert and donuts. That's not the point. It's how am I going to show up? Am I going to be fully present in the now? Yeah. What can I do? Oh, yeah. Okay, and 10 o'clock comes, and I do that. Step in, fully present, sitting in the observer's chair. I'm peaceful. I don't need to be right. I'm loving, kind, gentle, attractive. People are attracted to this. They want this in their life. They don't have it. They want what you have. It's a good thing. Now, at noon, I read scroll 9. I will act now. I remind myself that my value is determined on my actions. I will complete those 2 power sessions. I want to be here in this chair at least 3 times. So I start thinking about the next power session, and then I execute. Then I start thinking about the 3rd power session, and I execute. Now at the end of the day, I'm going to be sitting in this chair, and I want to pause for just a moment and reflect on what was possible when I chose to be here. What was possible? What did I create? What miracles occurred? After I get done, I'll read scroll 7. I'll laugh at the world. It helps me kind of put everything in perspective. Then I go sleep like a baby. I've earned it. I've done all that I can do today. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? And we sleep like a baby. Next morning we wake up. Oh my goodness. Here I am again, stuck in that chair. I'm going to read scroll 5. Get me out of the chair. Get me back here. Now I can start planning 3 times when I'm going to be here today. This is a habit we're going to want to develop. It's not about the system. It's just a process. It's a practice to help us be present. The most important thing is being present. The scrolls support us in staying conscious, so we will. Mental rehearsal helps prepare us for the event. And then we're fully present in the event. Our objective is to be fully present those three times. We want to celebrate this at the end of the day, journal a few things that happened that might not have happened otherwise. And read scroll 7 to put everything in perspective. I've done everything I can do today. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? And we again sleep like a baby. I got some more. We get up and do the same thing. Can you feel, if I repeated this 3 or 4 times, the tug from those thought processes over there? Oh, my goodness. It can be exhausting just feeling their pressure on us. That questioning our worth and our worthiness and wanting us to be in frenetic, non-goal-directed activity, running like a chicken with our head cut off, frustrated with life, focused on making money instead of paying attention to people, being driven by perfection, that no matter what I do, it's never good enough, by obligation, have to, should, must, ought to, even fear of consequences. You hear all that noise over there? Here's the secret to change. 3 times a day we're here. Now, there's going to be other times when we're going to be over there. Probably so. But we're going to be here 3 times a day. And if we keep raising our awareness with the scroll, I'm going to have you add to this the affirmations found in your intentional creation studio. You click on any one of the qualities, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, middle column, second item down is always affirmations. You click on that and you can see the affirmations for that quality. They're also recorded. You can download them to your phone. I've recorded them, put them to music. You can listen to them. This is a very wonderful thing to have with your phone. Helps you stay here, keeps you present while you're preparing for that time to be totally present in the now. We are creating a new furrow. Ogmandino wrote in scroll number 1, he said, our bad habits, those unhealthy habits of thinking over there in that chair, must be destroyed. Wow, that's pretty emphatic. They must be destroyed. And new furrows prepared for good seed. Every time we read a scroll, we're plowing a furrow. Every time we make our plan, we're planting a good seed. Every time we do a power session, we're nurturing a seed. Each time we read the scroll midday, we're making sure that furrow stays clean and the weeds are pulled out so it can continue to grow. Every time we do the power session in the afternoon, the next power session, we're nurturing and we're nurturing. And the seed begins to suck seed. It suckers the seed. It starts to grow, sprouts. It starts to grow into a plant. And pretty soon, we don't just have a furrow with seeds in the ground. We have a furrow with very healthy plants. We have created, that's a very poetic way of describing a neural pathway. The neuroscientists tell us that we're neuroplastic. We have neuroplasticity. Our brain's malleable. It's moldable. That if we will do something repeatedly, every time when we would have done something else, we choose to do this. We do read the scroll. We do the power session. We journal the result. We read the scroll again. Scroll 7. Next morning, we read scroll 5. Oh, if there's times when we don't want to, we do it anyway. We plan our 3 times. Can you hear it? I'm not going into the chair over there. I'm choosing this one. I am plowing a new furrow. I am planting good seed. I am watering, nurturing, pulling the weeds, watering, nurturing, pulling the weeds, watering, nurturing, pulling the weeds, and growing a new neuro pathway. And what we know is when it's grown, the brain will synaptically prune off the unhealthy habit of thinking. It's gone. Now, it can be fragile. Somebody said once that the only, if you take a new habit and you drop it, it will break. So we don't want to drop it. We want to keep nurturing it. We start to experience the harvest from those trees that have been planted. We're not growing onion plants, Og said. We're growing olive trees. Interesting, huh? onion plants, they're dead in 90 days. We're growing olive trees. That's what's going to be planted in this new furrow. This is going to be a solid new habit. And as we experience the preparing of the furrow, and we experience the planting of the seed, and the nurturing of the seed, Og tells us in Scroll 1, that we'll begin to have an actual experience. He says, I'll turn to it in Scroll 1. Here we go. I love this. I'll begin to awake each morning with a vitality I've never known before. That's that joy. My vigor will increase, my energy, my enthusiasm, which is all my gifts, my divine nature, my goodness, my enthusiasm will rise. My desire to meet the world, I can't sleep fast enough, decide to get up, will overcome every fear I once knew at sunrise. Fears are still going to be there, they're still over there, but we're going to start to overcome them with this desire. And I'll be happier than I ever believed possible in this world of strife and sorrow. That's what happens through this process of furrow preparation, planting seeds, and nurturing. That's how we're starting to feel. It's exciting. When this becomes mature, it becomes a new habit. And because it's a habit, it's a pleasure to perform, and it's our nature to perform it often. And we let it control our lives because we know it is a good habit. Well, that's why this principle, this quality of becoming an intentional creator is so critical for healing self-esteem. We look at the measurements in this particular assessment, this particular quality, excuse me, and there are six of them. The first one is passionate. Passion means a willingness to suffer for something we love. We're doing this because it's igniting our passion. Productive, which means we know what to do and how to do it. This is a powerful piece, and we take the actions to do so. We're organized. We do things in a structured way. We understand the value of doing that. We're consistent. Excuse me. Compliant. Compliant means that there'll be times when we want to do something a certain way and it'll be against standard policy procedure. Can we honor the policy? Can we see the value in doing that? Or are we just going to do it our way and just run the risk of causing problems? There's generally a reason for guidance. Will we listen to the guidance? Proactive. Will we take on challenges as they occur? Or will we procrastinate? Or will we just go into overwhelm every time we see a mistake? And lastly, will we protect what we actually build? When we're in that space, we are with our very best self. And with our very best self, we are weaving together the fibers of healthy self-esteem. So this week, I just want to encourage you. Go to the power sessions and do them with a different intention. Read the scroll. Which chair am I in? Get over here. From here, pick the three times when you're going to be present. Over here, use mental creation to prepare for it. Execute. Read Scroll 9. Execute the rest of the power sessions. Celebrate with a journal and read Scroll 7 before you end the day. And see how you feel at that moment. Ramona knows that there are times. There are special times. When you know. Absolutely. You know in the fibers of your being that we have done everything we can do that day. And what a great moment. For me, I turn to God and I say, I've done all I can do. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? And I'm just convinced he does more work while I'm asleep than I could do during the day. It's fun to watch. It's great to be a part of it and have him as a partner. And we can, sitting in this chair, fully present, honoring the gift and honoring the giver of that gift by taking what we have and creating the very most that we can with it. May we do that this week. Scroll 5, 9, and 7. Power sessions. Let us spend time with our true self. Let us get out of that chair. Get over here sooner and stay here longer. Eventually, we want to be able to spend the entire day here. Intentional. Deliberate. That could be a nap. That could be going to a movie in the middle of the day. It's not got to be a grindstone, you know. It's not that point. It's just that we're intentional. We know why we're doing it. And we are making the choice. It's a glorious way to live. May we find the courage to get on this road this night. Wake in the morning. And take on our power sessions. That's my hope. I'll watch for the email tonight about the new book. There's a 15% discount. You can pick it up right now and I'll send you the PDF. We get started on this process of healing your self-esteem and you'll see where this piece fits in. Well, everybody have a great night and we'll be back with you next Tuesday.